now we go back to Mark, we'll go back to the subject of human nature and continue to think about that. What is your nature this morning? What are you like in your heart? What are you capable of? What naturally comes out of you? And how does that mean that you need to be, perhaps like we saw last week, trained, need to be, have yourself guided and led in life so that you don't act according to your nature, but according to what's right. So we're thinking about human nature, and we're just going to jump straight in here. So two men who love, and there's only two men in the story, so it's not difficult to see. We're talking about them, and we're talking about what they love. And we're thinking about things like control, submission, religion, these sort of things in this story today. Now, it's quite a well-known story, it's quite a prominent story in the New Testament. And we're going to jump straight in to this story. And let me just start by asking you, who do you identify with in the story of Jesus and the rich young man? Who do you identify with? Yeah, this is one way to read the Bible, especially the gospel stories, and ask yourselves, who's like me in that story? Now, the answer we should always want to give is Jesus. We want to be able to say, I'm like Jesus in that story. Often, of course, we won't be able to say that. We might say, well, actually, to be honest, I'm like this rich young man. And maybe that's it. Maybe you don't identify particularly with either of them. But let's have a look at human nature as it expresses itself in one particular kind of person. Someone who loves money. Now, you wouldn't have to go hunting too far in society to find people who love their money. People love their money are everywhere, and we all love our money to some extent, and maybe we love it a lot. How does it show in our nature? And so we're going to start by looking at this man's nature. What is his nature? Remember, when we're looking at the nature of someone, it's our nature too. Because human nature is universal. We've all got the same basic nature. And whatever this rich young man is like, he's made his nature and he's made his life respectable. He's a pretty respectable guy. He could come to church here. He'd fit in. I hope we would fit in with disrespectful people too. I hope anyone could come here to church. But he'd fit in and he'd be accepted as one of the gang. Yeah, he's like us. And what we've seen human nature to be like is human nature says to us, follow your heart. It says to us, be what you want to be. It says to us, if you think it's right, it is right. If it goes wrong, it's someone else's fault. This is the kind of things we've been finding as we've been thinking about human nature. And we see it all around us in our society. And it's here with this man too, because this man is following his heart. This rich young man is following his heart, and in the story, Jesus reveals it. He shows him what's in his heart. Jesus doesn't say, sell all you have, because every wealthy person has to do this. He says it to the man because the man is asking the question, how do I get eternal life? And Jesus knows that even though this man has, he says, kept all the commandments, and he thinks he's a good guy, the fact is, he doesn't love God, he loves his money. And he doesn't even know that. He actually doesn't know that he loves his money. And he thinks he's a great guy, and God must love him very much. And Jesus is simply exposing his heart. It's a hard thing to have your heart exposed, but it's a good thing. And I don't know if you've ever had your heart exposed like that, where, suddenly you've just had a revelation of yourself. I never saw that about myself. I never realized that about myself. Is this what I'm really like? Is this what I really set my heart on? And that is what Jesus does for this man. And you see that he'd rather love his money than Jesus. He'd rather follow his heart to his bank balance than follow Jesus. So, the first thing then about human nature is that we're seeing in this man, he follows his heart. And his heart does not lead him to God. If you follow your heart, it won't lead you to God. It'll lead you somewhere else. And this man, it leads him to money. The second thing that you see in this man is he thinks that if he thinks something is right, then it must be right. That's human nature as well. You know, that's why people argue all the time, because everyone thinks they're right. And he doesn't question himself about this. So he thinks that if he calls Jesus a good teacher, well, Jesus must be a good teacher. I can make that judgment of Jesus, he thinks. Yeah, if I think eternal life is getting to heaven, and that's what's important, then that's what's important. That's what I need. I need eternal life. I need to get to heaven. That's what's important. If I think it, it's right. If I think I've kept the commandments, then I've kept the commandments. This is what's going on in this man's life. He thinks he's right. And he thinks, if I think this about myself, I'm right. I can see myself clearly. I know what I'm like. I know the kind of person I am. I'm a good guy. I can tell other people if they're good guys. And I can say that I'm a good guy. And Jesus, just as it says in verse 21 there, looked at him and loved him. It's beautiful. He looked at him. And his heart, Jesus' heart, sank to hear that man say, I'm a good guy. I've kept all the commandments. Because Jesus just was able to look into him and say, you don't even begin to know how far short you are. Remember, I have just said a minute ago, there isn't anyone who is good except God alone. And now you're telling me you're good. You don't even begin to understand. That makes you and me challenge ourselves. Is there stuff we think about ourselves? We're sure we're right, but it's completely wrong. Do you have any illusions about yourself? You won't know you have, because they're illusions. And you're blinded by them. So the best thing to do is to ask people who are not going to flatter you. Might be asking a spouse, might be asking your children, might be asking, you know, a friend who gets what you're asking for. Say, you know, what are my weak points? You know, what do you think about this? Am I like this? And listen to them. But the best way to do this is to read the Bible carefully. Maybe even reading the story. And just to put yourself in the shoes of the young man, imagine, use your imagination, visualize it. What would you do if Jesus said this to you? Sell all you have and give to the poor. And come and follow me. If that was the deal, if that was exposing your heart, and you just find, I can't do that, so I'm going to reject Jesus and I'm going to stick with my money, you know, that would be a revelation of your heart. But this man, his nature prevents him from seeing himself. And when it all goes wrong in this encounter for him, it's Jesus' fault. Because that's another thing about human nature. It's not my fault. Remember? Eve, it was the serpent. No, this goes right through the whole story. And it's in our story too. It's not my fault. So we see that the man, once he understands that Jesus has asked him to sell everything, he says, you know, I don't want to do that. And Jesus is asking me to do that, therefore Jesus must be wrong. It's his fault, and he leaves Jesus. So sad. But this is a revelation in this man's life of human nature. Follow your heart. You must be right. If it goes wrong, it's someone else's fault. These kind of things. This man also has a religion. That's the second thing I want to think about. Man has a religion. So we'll look at verses 17 to 20. So when he comes to Jesus, it looks good. Falls on his knees. You know, calls him good. And it really looks like this is going to be a good encounter. This is going to go well. This man obviously has a great honor towards Jesus. And he believes in God, obviously. And he believes in the importance of eternal life. He's had a good upbringing. So he says, he believes Jesus is a good teacher. And it all looks great. This man's a great guy. He's got a great religion. But listen to what his religion is. His religion is, I decide what good is. I say who is a good teacher. So he says that to Jesus. Good teacher. And Jesus is only going to be a good teacher for that man until, as long as Jesus agrees with him. Once Jesus doesn't agree with him in this story, he's no longer a good teacher. And he goes away. So you see, who's deciding what good is? It's not Jesus in this story. In the man's eyes, it's him. He gets to say what good is. It's not the Bible. It's not, you know, it's not Christian teaching. It's me. That's human nature. That's society. And that goes by the name of religion across the world. Because most religion that's not true Christian religion is man saying what good is. Because man's made it up. I still struggle to understand, in a way, why people make so much of their religions. Because they know, deep down, they were made up by people. People saying what good is. So this is a man-made religion this man has, where he gets to say what good is. He gets to say that he's a good guy. Teacher, all these I have kept since I was a boy. You know, he's not even saying to Jesus, do you think I maybe haven't done this? He's just saying, I've done it. I'm a good guy. I'm a really good guy. I'm a good person. I decide what good is. And in the end of the story, he'll be the one who'll decide whether God's asking him to do a good thing or not. Like, Jesus says, sell all you have, give to the poor. He decides that's not a good thing. And so he leaves. It's not like he says, well, actually, I'm struggling here. You know, you're asking me to do something really difficult, but I know it's a good thing that you're asking me, so I need help from you to do it. He doesn't do that. He just says it's not a good thing. So he comes as a man who decides for himself what good is. He's not listening to God. He's not listening to Jesus. He's not listening to the Bible. And he goes away the same. That's what happens to this rich young man. This is a challenge to you and me, because we can't be people who just think to ourselves, you know, I'm the one who decides what's good. You know, in relation to church, in relation to the people around us. We judge people, we judge ourselves. We're very easy on ourselves and we're very hard on others. We're the people. And this is man-made, this is human nature and this is human religion. And it's not good because it goes away from Jesus. But also in this man's religion, there's control. He wants to be in control. Now, this is really human nature. You want to be in control. You want to get to say what happens when someone gets ill, for example. And you pray, telling God what you want him to do in the situation. We all do that. We want to be in control. And the more busy we get, the more difficult it gets for people to interrupt us. We don't like interruption. We don't like things getting in the way. So what about this man here? Well, let me go to verse 22. We see that at the end of the encounter, he goes away sad. Because he had great wealth. Now, he wanted the situation to turn out a certain way. He had it all in his mind. I'll come to Jesus. I'll ask him the question. Jesus will give me the answer. And I'll look good. And I'll go away. And I'll have Jesus exactly what I want. Jesus will be the one who will tell me what a great guy I am. I'll be in control. God will say that what I'm doing and what I am is good. God will rubber stamp my life. Well, we have to know that there are some people that we have to submit to in life, and most of all that we have to submit to God. And we also have to know when we're not in control at all and we need help. This man thinks he can manage. This man thinks he can manage to please God and keep God happy, and God will keep him happy. He thinks he's actually got the power himself to be what God wants him to be. But the end of the story tells us he hasn't. Because when Jesus tells him, you know, you love your money, you've got to loosen your hold on your love for your money, or you'll never love God. You've got to do that. So here's how to do it. Give it to the poor. You follow me. But the man can't do that, because he thinks he's in control, but actually money's in control. And God's certainly not in control in this man's life. Jesus said, you know, the disciples said, how can anyone come to God? How can anyone be saved? Jesus said, they can. The rich young man can't be saved. You and I can't be saved if we try to do it ourselves. It's impossible. With man, it's impossible. We're not in control. We haven't got the power to shape our destinies. I mean, that's an illusion. Anything can come and disrupt your destiny at any time. We're not in control. We don't have the power to tell God how our life should turn out. We don't have the power to tell God that we're good guys and that he should accept us and that he should do things our way. We don't have that power. It's impossible for us to fix things. But not with God, Jesus says. That's why salvation is a gift. That's why forgiveness and peace with God is a gift. Because we're not in control. We can't fix it ourselves. And so God gives it to us as a gift. What a love God has. What a greatness of power he has to save us. It's a gift. It is possible for God to save this rich young man, even though he's walked away just now. Maybe his subsequent story turned out well, I don't know. But at the moment, it doesn't look so good. We need Jesus. We're not in control. I want to just finish off by speaking about Jesus himself. Because, let's go back to these verses. Because Jesus is different in the story. And there's things we might not see, obviously, here. But Jesus is not pretending to be in control in this situation either. Jesus is submitting in this situation. I'll tell you how we know that. It says that Jesus loved him. Now, you might think when the man starts walking away, Jesus is going to run after him. Jesus is going to say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. But let's talk about this. Now, let's come to some kind of arrangement where you get to have your money and you get eternal life and I get a disciple. Let's try and figure this out. Jesus doesn't go running after the man. Because it's not up to Jesus to make up how people come to heaven. It's not up to Jesus to decide on a special arrangement for this man. Because Jesus is there submitting to his Father. Jesus is doing what his Father has sent him into the world to do. Jesus is walking in obedience to the Father. He doesn't think of himself as being the one who gets to say whatever he wants to say. He only sees what the Father shows him to see. He often says that, especially in John's Gospel. Now, I don't speak my own words, but the words my Father has given me. Yeah. So, Jesus here is in full submission to the Father. He's not trying to walk like someone who just gets to make things the way he likes them to be and gets to seek his Father whatever he wants his Father to do, like the rich man tries to do. Jesus is obedient. Jesus is submitting. Jesus is speaking God's truth. And it's a beautiful life, the life of Jesus. Unlike the rich young man, because his heart is set on riches, it's going to distort the whole of his life. It's going to spoil him. He's going to end up a bitter old man if he gets to live that long. But Jesus' life is beautiful. Because Jesus' heart is not set on money. It's set on the Father. He loves his Father. And Jesus is here in this world because he loves people like the rich young man, because he loves people like you and me. And because even if we do go away from Jesus, like the man did, he's still ready to welcome us back. And even if he sees that our hearts are set in all the wrong things, and we want to tell him what's good, and we want to be in control, and we want to fix things ourselves, and we want to follow whatever our hearts want, and all these kind of things, and when it goes wrong, we want to blame others, all that. Even though he sees all that about us, he loves us. And he's prepared to walk for 33 years of his life, always doing what the Father wants him to do. Always pleasing the Father. Until the point where he can offer his whole life to the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he say, "Father, I know that I'm about to die on the cross. It's not what I would choose, but because you want it, there is nothing else I have set my heart on in this world that is going to stop me from going and dying for the people I love. And so I'll go and do it." And he does. He suffers terrible things. And he dies for our sins. Because he's so different. His heart is set on obedience. His heart is set on the Father. His heart is set on the people he loves. And on doing what is impossible to the people he loves. On bringing them to God. The day we rejoice in this story, there is a Jesus. It's not just about lots of rich people and lots of poor people. And none of them are in a good place. Because none of them can get right with God. None of them can sort their lives out. And all of them are lost. It's like, there's Jesus. And so whenever you get a revelation yourself, whenever, maybe even today, you're sitting and thinking, there are some whole truths here. God is speaking to me from this story. You know, whenever you get that, and you think, oh, my life's not right. There's things that need to get sorted out in my life. Don't despair. Because there's a Jesus. There's a Savior. There's one who can help you. And there's one who can bring you to God. What's impossible to you is possible to God. Come to Jesus. come to Jesus and, you know, just tell him even how hard it is for you to do what he wants you to do. You hear him say, you know, your heart's set on riches. You need to have your heart set on following me. You say, Jesus, I know that, but I can't do it. I tell him that. And start, you know, really listening to pastors like this, really listening to his word, and seeing how Jesus changes people. Because he works in their hearts. He works within them. He transforms them. Let him do the work. Let him do the impossible. Let him transform you, because now he's no longer, you know, walking in that difficult path he walked in this world. He's the Lord of glory at the right hand of the Father, sending his Holy Spirit and power to his church to change lives. And all that he has done for you, he offers to you freely and fully, so that you can be happy forever. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Let's call on him. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for your rich submission and obedience. We thank you, Jesus, that you let the Father tell you what to do and what was good and where to go and how to serve. And what you had to do for us. We thank you for your love for us. And we pray, Jesus, that you will help us to let go of all the things that we love that are not you, so that we can love you and follow you and be happy now and always. Amen.